So you said that China controls 98% of gallium in the world right now?
Yep.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yep.
Yeah, and with as many things as is used for energy, semiconductors, solar, and all that stuff in defense, my understanding is that it's identified as a critical, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about a year ago, I heard there's about 6 months of gallium supply globally outside of China. We've got 13 meters at 8 grams a ton. We've got 22 meters at 2.7. There's a lot of stuff like that. And you're up to 27 grams silver and a couple of those as well. So we've still got a heap of silver grades pending. We've got four or five targets once we get this IP data out on the southern parts of the tenements. We've got a few more targets that are looking, we suspect, very good, but just analyzing the data at the moment. So potentially we've got a hand with a little area here that's got a handful of potential exciting targets, which may turn into something very real. We're not a lifestyle company. We all know how we're going to make money is by actually making a big discovery and getting into production. There's been a few takeovers with companies that have, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 ounces, and they're getting, $300 million-$400 million. So you do the maths. It's 15 cap. If we get to 500,000 ounces and someone did come, that's a decent upside.
Good day. It's Steve Yang with Natural Resource Stocks. I've got a guest, Justin Virgin, Executive Director of Terrain Minerals. Justin, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Well, Justin, let's jump right in. If you can tell us a little bit about you, and then if you can tell us what Terrain Minerals is all about.
I'm the Executive Director of Terrain Minerals. Been full-time Executive Director now, or MD, whatever you want to call it, for the last 12 months. Was a stockbroker before that for 17 years, and have been with the company as a NED before that. Look, Terrain is an ASX exploration company. We've always believed that you need a pipeline of projects because, as an explorer, we're very active. We're always in the field. We're drilling. Any funds we get, we always deploy them into the field. So we're in a pretty lucky situation now that, well, it's a bit funny actually. We've got our Smokebush Gold Project. It looks like we've made a major discovery there. We had some really good gold results. There's association with silver. We've got all the right geological features, being a granite pumping the fluids around, some structural openings, and it looks like there's some dolerites, which for people who don't know West Australian gold deposits, they're like these massive sponges you wash your car with, and the water just sucks in, all the gold sucks into them. That's probably the easiest way to put it. And the fluids are obviously moving for millions of years through there, and it's just building up. So our last drilling results, we've actually drilled into a potentially offset structure that looks to be, we believe, is a dolerite. We not need to confirm that. We've been getting some really good gold grades. So that's our main project. We've just done some IP down the southern part of the project, a place called Wildflower, because it sort of looks like the Lightning structure. And there'll be some news out there. So potentially a few more targets look exactly the same. And we have a gallium project at Smokebush as well, about 5 km away in a very unique geological setting. There's basically two granites that's pushed up, and there's a big long laneway about 27 square kilometers in size. I think a bit bigger. So we've got gallium oxide from surface in many areas in a clay regolith down to about 140 meters in places, part of a big old drainage channel. So that's pretty exciting for us because gallium's a pretty exciting buzzword. Went to a rare earth thing here in London overnight, and all they spoke about was gallium. So it was fantastic. The other project we have, the Bilawila project
Justin,
in Queensland. Sorry.
sorry, go ahead, please.
Our Bilawila project in Queensland is copper gold. That was identified by a university study many years ago. My geologist is an MD of a couple of companies before. He's made two discoveries, one a very big one, 3 million ounces in Katanning. And this is a project that when he left the company, they dropped it and we pegged it. So he's dragged it through two companies. The other two projects his study identified has got discoveries on it. And we just need to get to this. It's taken 2 years to get granted. We've now got it granted after a long time, and we're about getting ready to go in the ground. We do have a couple of other projects. One is the lithium one. We've just done some soils over in the Pilbara, which is in the heart of the lithium belt near the iron ore up in the Pilbara, West Australia. So that's pretty interesting. And we're on a major structure that houses lithium mines. That's half granted now after 2 years. And we have another project, which is has a lot of heavy rare earths down in the southwest of Western Australia, that is in the back of our deck. We're there looking for some magmatic nickel, but we always check the tables because you never know what you find. And we've found some very, very high grade rare earths, you know, once again, a unique geological setting sitting in a mafic intrusive unit. So around the edge of it. So there's a fair bit more news to come out there as well. So that,
Justin, I want to ask by starting off about the smoke bush. You mentioned gold, you've mentioned gallium. First of all, if you can, for our listeners who maybe not familiar with rare earth and gallium and its purposes, if you can tell us what gallium is and why it's so important, and then if you can tell us kind of the different parts of it, gold and gallium, like is it two different sides? I mean, if you can explain that.
There's a 5 kilometer gap between the gold and the gallium. They're not associated. They are different projects. They just happen to be an adjoining tenement block. Sorry, but both in very different geology. Gallium is, I guess, it's the glue that holds the world together. No one ever asks about the glue. Don't even see it. So basically, gallium is controlled 98% by the Chinese, and they're pulling it out of bauxite production. Everyone else has tried to do that and have sort of failed. I suspect, you know, they're only getting a 10% recovery, we're hearing. Basically, gallium, your LED lights and lasers don't work without it. Most people wouldn't know that. New AI, or basically your computer chips and your transistors. So the new generation ones in AI, quantum computing, you can't have either of those without gallium chips. You can't have radars, missiles, fifth generation fighter planes without gallium componentry. It's also used in photovoltaic cells. If you look at the cells in your solar panel, a patent dropped off 3 or 4 years ago. Now 80% of cells out of China have gallium in them, because when they used to make the old cells of steel circuitry, they corroded. The gallium ones don't. So it's only a small market, but it's a non-LME B2B market. So there's very limited data. You know, we're talking to a Japanese group. We know they're paying over $1 million a ton. They're using 6 to 8 tons a month. The Chinese are advertising it for $300,000 to $400,000 US. So there's a bit of disparity there to reality. So gallium's an interesting market, but it's a bit of a specialty metal. Basically, it allows for faster switching at lower voltages at much higher temperatures.
So you said that China controls 98% of gallium in the world right now?
Yep.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yep.
And with as many things as it's used for energy, semiconductors, solar, and all that stuff in defense, my understanding is that it's identified as a critical, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about a year ago, I heard there's about 6 months of gallium supply globally outside of China.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so how much gallium do you think you have?
I don't know. But I think the 27 square kilometer area, we got zones up to 64 meters and up to 54 grams. Look, we've got a thing called a JORC code in Australia, sort of similar to the Canadian code. So we're not allowed to say what we think we have without actually real hard data, where you can get into trouble. But 27 square Ks, 64 meter zones, you know, down to 8 meter zones. We've got a JORC exploration target on 5% of this. So we've got 100 holes into it. 10 of the holes sits outside of the JORC target area. It all looks the same because it's in a unique geological feature. So we expect, and the JORC report says it should be the same. So the West Australian government's currently doing a metallurgy study for us, and that's due at Christmas. And like all rare earths, if you haven't got a solution to extract it, it's not real. Metallurgy is the key thing here. So ours is already an oxide. It will come with a rare earth credit. We Our goal is to make an end product, drill it out for about $1 million Australian, just with air core, and then we'll get enough sample material and probably move towards making an end product, which would be saleable, and obviously looking for a partner to help us with this, because opaque metals are not easy to get up. It's not like a gold mine, easy to build. We know what we're doing. We've got gold, we've got mills nearby, we can get quick cash flow. Gold's easy for an explorer. Gallium is these special metals, a little bit different. So, you know, we are going to need some help.
Gotcha. Well, speaking of gold, gold is flying. It's pretty hot. In terms of grade, in terms of quantity, what do you think you have in terms of, for gold at the Smoke Bush overall in general? And then I think you've got a copper project, a lithium project. You mentioned nickel. And I'd love to know what kind of, how you guys go about picking your pipeline, like your pipeline projects. And do you focus particularly on one over the other, typically gold, or kind of what are you guys known for?
We always like gold. I think companies always chase gold and nickel, I think, traditionally. Look at gold, how big it is, I don't know. We need more drilling. But we've now found these, what we believe to be dolerites, which are these big sponges, and they're big. We've got a lot of fluoral corridors going through them. So we need to do more drilling, but we're getting some fantastic grades. If you have a look, we've got 11 meters at 6 grams and 43 grams silver. We've got 13 meters at 8 grams a ton. We've got 22 meters at 2.7. There's a lot of stuff like that. And you're up to 27 grams silver and a couple of those as well. So we've still got a heap of silver grades pending. We've got 4 or 5 targets once we get this IP data out on the southern parts of the tenements. We've got a few more targets that are looking, we suspect, very good, but we're just analysing the data at the moment. So potentially we've got with a little area here that's got a handful of potential exciting targets which may turn into something very real. The Lightning is coming along nicely. This is an overnight success as usual. It's about 6 years in the making. We had over 60 holes into it. We believed we were sort of drilling out a couple of structures. And now that we believe we found these catchment areas, our whole model for the project has just been tipped on its head. And it sort of makes a bit more sense why I couldn't figure out what was going on for years. It's exciting. You know, we're gold explorers, and it looks like we've got something potentially very big. There's mills in the area that we can get to quick cash flow. I'd rather build it myself, but, you know, you can always do a combination. You're talking about, like, how do we pick our projects? Look, our gallium, we're looking for something else. So it was a fluke, but we always check the table. Our rare earths down at Lort River, we were chasing some nickel targets, magmatic nickel. We found rare earth. We didn't get what we wanted. I guess our Queensland project, I wanted some copper in the portfolio because I think copper is a great place to be. And that's why we've pegged that. And our lithium was more of a fluke. Land was available, we pegged it, and we've jumped on it. But there's also some gold opportunity up there. It's 1,200 square Ks, roughly. There's Northern Star has just bought 10 million ounces up there, so which is pretty exciting. If you look at the early reports, so they talk about a machine learning study that identified this 10 million ounces. They're just down the road from us. We're running a machine learning process now. It's about 50,000 Australian. Our lithium soils on the big structure that runs from a couple of lithium deposits is about $50,000. So what we like to do is have a key project that we're working on. We're spending, you know, 80-90% of our funds on, but we like to have a couple of projects in the background that we're slowly building up, so our investors can see that if we kill something off, we have something exciting to move on to. And that's sort of it's a portfolio approach. Awesome. It's dangerous for a junior to have one project and kill it off, and then you're not relevant anymore.
So. Justin, love it. If you can, curious though, if you can, first of all, you mentioned, having some backing and supporters. If you can, curious as to know what other companies, major investors that you're able to share that are invested here. And if you can talk about, like, how much is held by insiders, institutions, as well as how many shares are outstanding?
Be careful, because my wife's not very happy with the amount of money I've put in. We're talking about your house. Probably about 12-13% is the board. There's a fair bit of coin there. I was a broker for 17 years, so a lot of my clients have come along for the journey, and I've always tried to find people who are miners, who understand mining, because this is a journey. You know, there's cycles, and you pick commodities when they're out of favor, because that's when you can get the land, and we've done that to a certain extent as well. That's how we got the Queensland. No one wanted it. So it's a lot of our family offices and high net wealth investors, and a lot of my old clients as broke. But the top 92% of the company is held by the top 300 people. We've got 1,200 shareholders, 1,300. There's 2.6 billion on issue, which is typical, but our cap's around 15 million Australian. So it's around 10 American, I guess. So it's still very cheap after a big gold discovery, if you look at the results. So a lot of mum and dads in our register. There's one fund who doesn't, it's got about 50, 60 million shares, but that's all we've, they're there for the galleon, basically.
Justin, can I ask how much cash you guys have? I mean, what's your current cash position and what's the plan to grow the company?
Right. We're always broke. We've popped under $1 million again.
You really said it.
Everyone goes, oh, you need to raise. I'm going, I always need to raise. We're a junior explorer. That's just the nature of what we do. We live and die by the sword or by the drill bit. Let's face it. You look at these gold numbers. Why wouldn't you want to buy some shares? Our model is we try and campaign raise typically. We try and add some value. It's the old story, and raise at a higher price. So our last raising was at 0.3. I think we were trading at 0.6. We've had a bit of an uptick, but low was 0.2 recently. And the world's changed a little bit for us with our last drill results, which is pretty good. So funding is always, we'd normally do direct equity. I think going into debt or being clever with some of these convertible type notes can be dangerous for a junior. When you're a little bit bigger and you're onto something, then the world can change a little bit. But early on, I think, you want to keep it tight. You want to keep investors who understand that they may be there for a few years and they may need to put their hand back in their pocket. And they're the sort of people I've tried. Unfortunately, you do get the people who flick it out quickly sometimes too, but you need liquidity to make a market.
Justin, with gold, with gallium, with precious metals, minerals, rare earth, it seems volatile. It seems like there's a lot of upside. You're a junior mining company, and there's associations with risk with that and upside. So how do you, what kind of potential do you see in terms of upside, and what kind of risk do you see, and how do you mitigate that? And then with that, how do you, what kind of value do you think that you guys offer for investors?
Well, I think with a market cap of around 15 million Australian dollars, there's a fair bit of upside here with our drilling. So the next campaign, we'd like to be drilling before Christmas, which I think we will be. So there'll be some more results. And look, with this, as we've been drilling and we've basically have a new model and we've confirmed our new model with our last 5,000 meters we've done, we're going to go back and drill this time a lot smarter. Before we did some IP, we put a few holes in and we thought, maybe this, 5,000 meters later, we've confirmed our new model's real. So upside is, well, who knows? These potential catchments are big enough to hold a substantial size deposit. We do have some other targets there that look very similar. So this could be a standalone, gold mine with some serious size. Everyone's goal is to get to 1 million ounces at decent grade. That's obviously our goal. We need more drilling. I'd like to tell everyone we're going to get there. I don't know. But if you look at some, we've had Capricorn Metals take over Warriedar, so they basically surround us now. There's a lot of acquisitions in the area. We've got Vault Minerals has the Rothsay mine, which is also associated with the Mount Mulgine intrusive unit where we're at. They've got a mill up the road, deflector. Kirklocker Mill turns on early next year. There's 2 million ton capacity. I don't think they've got enough ore for that. So we're in a sweet spot, I think, for gold, let alone the price, and with silver as well. We're in a good place for someone who likes a little bit of risk and invest in the gold space. You know, you've got a company that's got a long history of spending all its money in the ground. We've got a little office, got no matching furniture. There's two of us full time. We run pretty cheap. We're not a lifestyle company. We all know how we're going to make money is by actually making a big discovery and getting into production. There's been a few takeovers with companies that have, you know, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 ounces, and they're getting, you know, $300 million-$400 million. So you do the maths. It's 15 cap. If we get to 500,000 ounces and someone did come, that's a decent upside. And in a gold market, especially in Australia, we've got a lot of these old big mills floating around the place. And that's one thing we do have a lot of mining infrastructure. You guys in the US have a lot of oil infrastructure, pipelines, etc. We have lots of gold mines with mills. So these mills have been mined big open pits, and then they've gone underground. So they've all short of ore, which is good for us.
Justin, if you can share with us, our listeners, how to find you if they have any questions or if they want to learn more about your story.
Terrain Minerals, our webpage. I'm sure you'd have it on your film, but yeah, and that basically just email terrain@terrainminerals.com.au. You mentioned the show in the header, and I'm more than happy to have a chat. I'm actually heading to the US tomorrow, so I'll be in New York for about and Washington talking about rare earths and gallium, funnily enough, and talk to a couple other people there. So yeah, I'm around if people hear this, and I'm still more than happy to catch up. But yeah, always happy to talk on the phone or video calls as well.
Justin, lastly, if you can share your ticker where you're trading.
Our ASX code is TMX. So it's a Tom Mountain Xylophone. Never been in
Gonna
a
need
mill.
a new word.
Yeah.
X-ray, X-ray.
X-ray, yep. So TMX. And yeah, ASX code, we're trading at 0.6 of a cent, which is pretty low, but a reasonably tight structure. So that's pretty good.
Awesome. Well, Justin, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for letting us know about Terrain Minerals, and love to continue to follow your story.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Much appreciated the opportunity. And yeah, hope people reach out and ask some questions.